Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Fascinating, fascinating text this morning. I've entitled it, From a Nuisance to Something Special. Mark 7, 24 begins this way. Mark 7, 24. And from there he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. She answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found that the devil had gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. There were some occasions in which Jesus Christ surprised everyone. In this story, that is most definitely true. At first, it seems our Lord surprised the lady who came to him in desperation. Yet in the next moment, our Lord turns the table by surprising the disciples with what he did. Given that this particular gospel was written in particular to the non-Jewish people, the events of this story are very enlightening. We hope to see this thought this morning, that though Jesus seemed aloof in his apparent slight, it was to show mercy to the Gentiles. First of all, look at the exposure. Jesus recently, we saw, had entered into a ship in order to escape the crowds. He was overwhelmed by the popularity and by the number of people that were thronging to see him. And once more, this seems to be his goal. Notice where he went. Verse 24. He went up to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre is not something you put on a vehicle. It was a city. And there were two cities up there just north of Israel. And he either went to the very edges of Galilee or actually entered into the Gentile territory. We know that someone had offered him hospitality, for we are told he entered into a house. And from what we can see in this passage, it appears that he was supposed to be on a retreat. For the rest of the verse says this, and he would have no man know it. Of course, this speaks of his preference, for he, being God, knew exactly why he was there, and that was to meet this woman. Somehow this woman found out that Jesus was nearby. Whether a friend informed her or the Holy Spirit prompted her, we cannot tell. But she would not pass up this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? This woman made the most of the opportunity and grasped it. In our time, we may interact with Jesus moment by moment, yet many do not. We are met together this morning in the name of Jesus. And almost anywhere in the world, you can meet someone who knows the Lord Jesus. But so few people in so many places grasp that beautiful opportunity to learn of him and to be with him, with God's people. We should never take that for granted. Verse 25 says, for a certain woman. In other words, there was one individual in this case. This woman was compelled to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. She did not bring her friends, from what we can tell. She was in such desperate need, she grasped her opportunity. Oh, that people would do that today. Now the need is put there for all to read. Her young daughter had an unclean spirit. The Bible doesn't elaborate upon this very much. However, this young girl was troubled by a wicked spirit. Let me stop here for a moment, because there's so much today said in Christianity about causes of demon possession. But I struggle to find much in Scripture about it. And a lot of the assumptions made, I don't find anywhere in the Bible. Let me give you a couple things this morning that I think were opportunities for Jesus to stress if they were true. One thing that is taught many times is that if a child has an evil spirit, it must come from some family involvement in the occult. No mention of that here. This child was troubled by a spirit, and that's all it tells us. This was the ideal time for it to be mentioned in Scripture, but it is not mentioned. Secondly, today much is made about those who claim to be gifted in casting out demons having to see the possessed person. And you know, you got to bring him to me, and I got to pray over him, touch him, and so on. Is that what Jesus did here? He never even saw the child. He prayed, and the evil spirit departed. You know, sometimes we underestimate the power of prayer, don't we? So often people think, well, if I'm going to pray, I have to have somebody come and put their hands on me to pray for me. That's not what it says here. We take our burdens to the Lord, and we can pray for that sister in Pakistan who's lost her husband, and God can effectively answer our prayer from thousands of miles away. Pay close attention, though, to what this mother did. Verse 25, she heard him and came and fell at his feet. Very, very significant words, friends. In fact, in Matthew, in the parallel passage, in Matthew 15, 25, it says, she worshipped him. Now, why is that so significant? Let me remind you what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said to the devil when he was being tempted by Satan to worship him. Jesus said to Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Quoting the Old Testament. Jesus said, I will not worship anyone save God. And no man should worship anyone save God. Yet, here in this story, Jesus permitted this woman to worship him. Is Jesus God? Indeed, we read in Hebrews chapter 1, you might want to mark this in your Bible just in case you have somebody coming to your door telling you that Jesus is not God and not worthy of worship. Hebrews 1:6 says this, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. This is speaking of Jesus Christ, and when he was born into this world, the angels were commanded to worship him because he is God the Son. Amen? For all of this woman's efforts, she seemed to face the expulsion. Now notice in verse 26 who this woman was. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. We're told quite a bit about her. In fact, in Matthew 15, 25, he adds another word to describe her. She was a Canaanite. The Bible dictionary said this means she was a Palestinian, probably somebody who had roots back to pre-Israel's time in Israel itself. Secondly, the lady was of Greek culture. maybe speaking Greek, probably part of the idol worship of the Greeks. And up until this encounter, she did not have God, the personal God, as part of her life. She's also called a Syrophoenician, which likely speaks of the geographical district in which she lived. She was a Gentile of Gentiles, on the outside as far as the Jewish people were concerned. Verse 26 says, she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now that word in Greek, besought, means interrogated. She went after the Lord. She was persistent about it. There's so much urgency that it tells us in Matthew 15:23 that she was hounding the disciples. And they didn't know what to do about her, so finally they said, well, go see him. She was insistent in asking for help, and she would not quit until Jesus said yes. However, in her heart, our Lord seemed to cast some consternation. I cannot help but wonder if some of the 12 were sitting there when he said these words and said, well, we told you, lady, you should have left him alone. Don't you get that picture? What does he say to her? He says, let the children first be filled, for it is not to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. What else would Jesus say? Every Jew would be comforted by such straightforwardness, would they not? I mean, Gentiles were dogs. That day, everyone who thought they understood the words of Christ, but they really didn't, as we'll see in a minute. The Jewish race saw themselves as God's elect people. In most of their minds, the Gentiles were like dogs, and dogs were not highly regarded by the Jewish people. In fact, we read in the Old Testament that if you made money off dogs, you weren't even supposed to give the offering of that to the Lord. And even the godly people from the Gentile nations who converted to the Old Testament faith were in a very low position, even though they were regarded a little higher. They were not given many privileges by the time Jesus came along. And upon a quick perusal, Jesus appears to be taken up the prejudices of his culture, doesn't he? On the surface, I say. But just a moment. Do you remember quite a few months ago, we were talking about the ships going out following Jesus, the ship he was in, and we said that the word for ship that Jesus was in was a regular-sized ship, but the diminutive of ship was used to describe the boats following him. In other words, little ships, little boats. Well, it is interesting in this story that Jesus doesn't use the normal word for dog. Instead, he uses the diminutive. In other words, he refers to the puppies or the small pets, not the wild dogs that licked up the blood of Jezebel. He's talking about the ones that were special in the house. And I suspect even some Jewish families had those. Everywhere in the Bible, we have seen that the Lord tells us he sees when the sparrow falls, Matthew 10:29. God is aware of all his creatures, large and small. And he knows a little bit about puppies too. Now, in passing, let us be reminded that although animals are not as much value as a human soul, God does expect us for us to care for our beasts. Proverbs 12:10 says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. We don't have too many unmarried here, but guys and girls, if you want to know what a future person would be like for a husband or wife, watch them treat their pets. Or, I got three P's here. Watch for patience, watch how they treat their parents, watch how they treat their pets. You'll get a very good idea of how they'll be as a spouse if you observe those things. And the fourth one, the siblings. Do they get on well with their brother and sister? They ought to. That's just a little aside. But we see here that Jesus is quite aware of the behavior of animals as we'll look. Watch as the woman takes courage in the words of Jesus. Now the disciples are sitting there rubbing their hands saying, oh, he told her off. She takes it as an inducement for her to seek further. Let me show you that. The response that this lady gives to Jesus is full of a lesson we must not miss. Listen carefully to her words. First, she does not suggest that Jesus is wrong in his statement. She says, yes, Lord. Verse 28, you're right. She will use Jesus' words, though, to show why even a Gentile woman like her may come to him. She seized upon his use of that word dog, but in the sense of a loving term for a dog rather than just dog. In fact, it is the same reason any person may come to Christ today. Neither Jew nor Gentile have a right to the blessings of God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We cannot come to God because of any goodness that's inside of us. We cannot come to him because of our race. We cannot come to God because, well, you know, we're better looking than half the other people in the world. We can only come to him because of his mercy. The woman in our story was emboldened by the words of Jesus. She sensed his use of a tender word for a pet was an invitation for her to dig deeper. So she does that by her next words. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. You've seen that, haven't you? How many have dogs in their home that have children in their house? Well, Jim doesn't have any children in his house, but okay. And what happens to some children when they don't like the food? Here, scoop. Or whatever you call the dog's name, or even cats will do it somewhere. The dogs are there. Every meal, our dog is close to the table. You can tell if he's sick if he's not near the table. Some dogs are grossly overweight because the children are feeding them too much of the food that should be going into their tummies. You see, she appeals to Jesus on a very basic level. She says, I'm not asking for the full meal deal. I'm just asking for a few crumbs. Isn't that precious? She realizes that her only hope is found in Jesus Christ. That's the same hope that God wants every human being to realize, isn't it? Our only hope is in him. It is none other way for us to make it to be with God other than through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our sin has separated us from our Creator. You say, I've never sinned. Well, you just told a lie if you said that. Because we've all sinned. We know it. When we're honest, dreadfully honest with ourselves. But the fact is that his Son did not sin, and because his Son did not sin, he could offer himself as a substitutionary sacrifice for us on the cross so that when we come to him and ask him to forgive us, he will forgive us. Hallelujah. Now look at what Jesus said in verse 29. For this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of thy daughter. As we said, Jesus didn't have to go to the girl. He said the word, she was cleansed. I would suggest, my friends, that the more that the scriptures are present, there is less need to deal with evil spirits. Are they around us? Yes. Are they omnipresent? No. There are some Christians who see the devil in every corner and nook that's in their house. My friends, Satan is not omnipresent. Neither are his helpers. Only God is omnipresent. And we must always remember that He is greater than anything else. So this Gentile woman went home, and what did she find? Her child was well. It says, when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon her bed. Clearly this unclean spirit had caused great unrest for the child. But as our song, which we will close with in a while, says, then Jesus came. You see, when Jesus comes, things change. When Jesus enters into a life, things become different. Not that we don't have troubles, but now we have somebody to go with us through those troubles. There are some things that are in this text that are vital for us to comprehend. I want to point out three of those things I believe that Jesus is emphasizing in this story. And I think it would sober our minds a little bit as we look at them. First, the book of Mark, as we said early on, is particularly written with Gentiles in mind. Last week, we noticed that Jesus was teaching that the new covenant was going to change the way we live. Ceremonial practices were often man-made rules that had nothing to do with faith. And this Sunday, we are confronted with the truth that the Gentiles were going to soon be on a level with the Old Testament saints. We sang a song early on this morning, He is our peace who has broken down every wall. Let us turn to the passage where that is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Paul is writing to a church that had some Gentiles and some Jews in it. He says, for the perfecting, this is why he gives different gifts in the church, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What is he saying? I'm not going to preach a whole sermon here. But he is saying this, when we are in Christ, he brings us together in a unity. And verse 19. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying that Gentiles and Jews both come to God in the same way now, and God has destroyed that difference that used to be there. Secondly, when Jesus and this woman were in conversation, she makes a very intriguing statement in Matthew 15. She is told by Jesus that she should have the children's crumbs. But the problem in Matthew 15 and verse 23, these children are said, they're trying to push her away, aren't they? Isn't that what the disciples were? They were the children at the table, at least some of them. So she appeals in the story not to the children, but to the master himself in verse 27. She talks about the master's food. You see, the Jewish people were putting obstacles in the way of people finding Christ. But they could go straight to Jesus now and not have any obstacles anymore. My friends, we need to be very careful in our society that we do not put obstacles in the way of people finding Jesus by our prejudices because they're of a different ethnic group or a different country or something like that. Because Christ will receive people of every nation and every tribe and every clan. In fact, it says around the throne of God, there are people from all peoples of the earth. So our object is to reach everyone with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thirdly, what most of the children rejected was now being offered to the puppies. How many times do children throw good food on the floor? Too many times. But that is what the people of Israel were doing by rejecting Jesus Christ, was it not? The bread of life they were discarding and throwing away. They were saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's what happens today when people turn their back on Jesus Christ. They are throwing the bread of life away. Oh, how sad it is to see people raised in Christian homes throwing the bread away. It hurts my heart when I think of some who have professed to walk with the Lord and have kicked it all over. Doesn't that make your heart ache? They're rejecting the most precious thing in life. It's interesting. Robert Fulton. Do you remember that name from social studies, young people? Robert Fulton is widely credited with inventing the first commercially successful steamboat. How many remember that now I said that? Until his time, ships were driven by wind, right? So if you didn't have a wind, you didn't go very far unless you had a whole bunch of slaves rowing in the galley. And apparently, Mr. Fulton presented his concept to Napoleon, that great French ruler. Do you know what Napoleon said to him? According to one account anyway, Napoleon said, "What, sir? You would make a ship sail against the wind and currents by lighting a bonfire under her decks? I have no time to listen to such nonsense." But is that not what happens when people reject the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't reject it. Isn't that what happens when we refuse to talk to somebody that maybe speaks a different language and doesn't know English well, and so we say, well, they can't be part of God's people? Isn't that what happens when we don't take the responsibility to share the gospel even if some disdain it? This week passed, we have a young man that came over to look at our house, whether or not he wants to stay with us. And he's from a different country. And we thought, well, we're not sure, so we need to talk to him. So we sat him down, and really pleasant young man. And we got asking him a few questions. I said, I'm a minister. And we asked, are you a Christian? And he kind of paused just for a second. because he wasn't sure what kind of Christian I was talking about. He said, well, I am, because I was born again just when I came to Canada 3 months ago. Well, whoopee-doo, right? Praise the Lord. But you know what? It's like Howard says, it's not always easy to ask the right questions, is it? But because I asked the right question, we knew right away here was a young man who not only needs a place to stay, but he needs a Christian home where he can grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So you may see him with us at church if he decides to stay with us. But my friends, this is the way we should be. Amen? Reaching out to our culture and others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he loves them and gave himself for them, so that if they will trust in him, they may have life eternal. Amen?